Listening Library presents The Last Kids on Earth and the Nightmare King by Max Browlier and Douglas Holgate. Read for you by Robbie Damon. Nightmare King? Yikes, that sounds bad. Why couldn't it be The Last Kids on Earth and the Endless Good Times with No Evil Enemies Ever? Chapter 1. Want to know what the most fantastically radical game ever is? I can tell you. It's real-life Super Mario Kart. And we're playing it right now. My best buddies, Quint, June, and Dirk, are racing through town in post-apocalyptic vehicles of awesomeness. Souped-up bumper cars that we call boom carts. Dirk built the boom carts, and Quint loaded them up with wicked vehicular combat coolness. Paintball blasters, defensive marble spillers, spiked tires, gas-powered slingshots, the works. But me, Jack Sullivan, I don't need a boom cart, because I race atop my awesome monster dog, Rover. There's a reason for this game of real-life Super Mario Kart. I noticed that the energy and enthusiasm levels of my buddies were a little low. I mean, I was having trouble distinguishing them from the zombies. So I was like, we need excitement. And what's more exciting than building an epic go-kart course with jumps, oil slicks, and a spinning speedway through creepy old man Aiken's house? That's one of the perks of life after the monster apocalypse. You can build giant Mario Kart-style tracks through your hometown. Right now, June's winning, and I must take her out. She's claimed first place 3 races in a row. I yank my t-shirt cannon from Rover's saddlebag and... free t-shirt for you, June! Shirt slug! Direct hit. June's cart slices around the corner, spins, then slams into the local fire station. Don't mess with the king! I shout. Rover woofs triumphantly as we stampede into first place. But I throw a glance behind me and see June's boom cart is all busted up. Crud. The idea is to win, not to knock your buddies unconscious. I know a good amount about buddies, because I have the best buddies, and I'm quite sure they don't like being knocked out. I tug on Rover's reins, and he turns. June, you okay? I begin to call out. But then... yeah, I'm okay. Okay with bending the rules to blast you! Surprise football crossbow boom! Thwack! The football knocks me clean out of Rover's saddle. I fall onto the grass. Surprise football crossbow booms are the worst. Your problem, Jack, is that you're too nice, June teases. You don't have that competitive spirit like me. She's about to speed ahead when something insane happens. And I don't use the term insane lightly, since pretty much everything that happens during the monster apocalypse could be classified as insane or, at the very minimum, pretty much bonkers bananas. We hear a voice. A human voice. I can't make out the words, but the voice is coming from inside the fire station. We've seen or heard 0 other humans since the monster apocalypse began. So, like I said, yeah, insane. June and I are instantly hurrying to the station and pressing our ears to the red metal door. We hear the voice again. June looks at me, eyes bulging. Confirmed, this is both insane and bonkers bananas. I spin around, cupping my hands to my mouth. Quint! Dirk! Time out! No way, friend! Quint shouts as his boom cart whips around the corner. Not falling for that ruse again. Not a ruse timeout, a real timeout, I shout. Really real. June points out that I should not be yelling, since we have no clue who is inside the fire station. Good point. I do a quick brain scan of possibilities, and the results are pretty gnarly. Terrifying wasteland marauders, possibly inside at this very moment. Tires screech, and Quint and Dirk skid to a stop and hop from their boom carts.
"What's up?" Dirk asks.
"Human-sounding voices," June whispers. "Inside the fire station." "We've never investigated the fire station," Quint says. "I am quite curious." "Of course you're curious," I say. "We haven't heard a single other human voice in months. We've heard monster voices, but those are all, like, deep and monstery. The only human voices we've heard are our own."
"And your voice is all nasally, Jack."
"Indeed, quite nasally."
"Wait, what? My voice is nasally? Really?"
Suddenly, my mind is in a whole different place, thinking about how I had no idea my voice was nasally. And could that possibly explain years of difficulty making friends? 'Cause who wants to be friends with the kid with the lousy voice? But if it's nasally, why did no one tell me before? I could have worked on it. Even tried to put on a cool Australian accent or something. Maybe even...
"Jack!"
June snaps me back to attention, hooking a thumb at the fire station door. Dirk is tugging the handle, opening the door, and... firefighter zombies.
"Watch out!"
June cries. A hefty undead fire chief is swiping at Quint. Quint immediately curls up into a ball and plays dead like it's a bear attack. Thankfully, Dirk is there. He snags both zombies by their ankles, and using his ludicrous strength, corpses catapulted. We hurry inside the station before the other zombies can get their awful arms around us. Rover bolts in behind us, barely squeezing through, and slam. I throw the door shut. The fire station is chilly, and the whole place smells like rotted people and spoiled cheesesteaks and old Chinese takeout. But what exactly do we see inside? Pretty much nothing. Now that the zombies are gone, the fire station is empty. So who did we just hear talking? It definitely wasn't the zombies, 'cause they don't talk. They moan. "Come on," I say. "We'll check every room. Someone was in here yapping away." Moving together for prime safety and battle readiness, we search the station. "Perhaps your mind was playing tricks on you."
"No way. We heard people."
"When we're done, can we slide down the fire pole?"
We soon determine that there is no one else, zombie or non-zombie, inside the station. I lean against a dusty fire truck. "I don't get this," I say. "We heard voices." And then it happens. Again. It. Capital letters it, 'cause it is big. We hear the voice. It's coming from a radio.
"Hello, is ksh out there? This is ksh ksh. Respond if ksh. We are..."
My heart just about seizes up, and my blood starts pumping to the rhythm of holy moly, holy moly, holy moly. June dashes toward the radio, kneeling, practically sliding across the floor.
"We're here," she cries. "We are here. Come in, repeat. We are here. Other people, humans, four of us."
And then it comes again.
"Repeating, this is ksh, ksh. We are ksh. Respond if ksh. We will try again in ksh, ksh."
The radio cuts off completely then. No hissing static, just total silence. The broadcast, it appears, is over. June gently reaches out and places her hand on the radio, like it's some ancient magic artifact. Her eyes are saucers.
"I don't get it. I tried to respond," she says. "But they didn't hear."
After a quick examination of the radio, Quint says,
"We can't respond. This is a radio scanner. One way only."
June sinks.
"Oh."
Do not distract.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?